Turning in our Bibles, please, to the Old Testament. We're turning to Psalm 32. I want to read just the first five verses of the psalm this evening together. I want to speak to you on the subject of how to be happy. How to be happy. From Psalm 32. Reminded of the title of a book I once saw which said, How to Be Happy and Married. That's not what I'm speaking on tonight. I leave that for others to elaborate on further. But anyway, we're turning to Psalm 32. We're going to read the first five verses together. The Word of God says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Amen. We'll finish at verse 5, and we know God will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Now, I want to do something slightly different just to start off with this evening. So I want you to bear with me on this, okay? I want you to imagine just now, if you will, that you're in an old street market. Perhaps you've seen scenes on television programs or films going back in time on an old street market, and you can see all the traders and they're selling their different wares and their different products. And there's all of the stalls there. And as you look around you, you see one particular stall, there's a crowd and they're starting to gather around. They're gathering around this particular trader. And as you make your way towards this crowd, because isn't it the case that a crowd draws a crowd? And whenever something like that happens, we all want to go and find out, well, what's going on here? So you make your way towards the crowd and you see a man and he's got a bottle in his hand. And he's holding up the bottle just like this. And as he is standing with the bottle in his hand and he's holding the bottle up and the crowd is growing, but you manage to make your way through the crowd that's gathered and you get to the front and you hear the man and he's speaking and he says, I have in this bottle the cure for all ills. In this bottle I have relief from every ailment. In this bottle I can assure you tonight that this is the secret of happiness. And he describes the contents of the bottle and how wonderful it is and how amazing it is. And the people are gathered around you and they're starting to count out their money. And they're all counting out their money and they ask the man the price and the man tells them what the price of the bottle is. Because a crowd draws a crowd and everybody else thinks it's going to work, you start to wonder, will it work as well? And you put your hand in your pocket and you take out your money and you realize that you haven't got enough. And you say to the man, will you be back tomorrow? He says, no, tonight I move on. And your last chance of happiness has gone. Now, I know that's not a true story, and so do you. But there is a ring of reality to that story in one sense. Because people are looking for happiness. And people will do many things in order to find happiness. The passage of Scripture that we have read this evening in Psalm 32 outlines for us the secret of how to be happy. See, the first two verses of this psalm begin with the word blessed. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The word that's used there, that word which is translated as blessed, is a Hebrew word which literally can be translated as blessed or happy. The same word is used over in Psalm 114 and verse 5, or 144 and verse 15, where the word of God says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So really we could look at this psalm and we could change it and we can say, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. But you know, there's more about this word that's translated as blessed in this verse, because in the original language, that word is actually in the plural. So in effect, what it means is blessing or much blessing or much happiness. I want you to think about that this evening. Think about the happiness that is found for this man that the psalmist writes about. Think about the happiness that can be found if you were to respond to what this psalm is teaching. There's three questions regarding happiness to be found this evening, to be considered this evening from this psalm. You know, as I've said, people are looking to be happy. People are trying to find happiness in all different sorts of ways. Some people try to find it in alcohol. Some people will seek to find it in drugs. Some people look for it in materialism. Others look for it in popularity. Others look for it in fame. Others look for it in wealth. There's so many different ways that people try to find happiness. But what we have to understand this evening, what you have to understand this evening, if you understand nothing else, is that true happiness won't be found in the things of this world, won't be found in the pleasures of this world. You'll not find happiness, you'll not find peace, you'll not find satisfaction in any of those things. But where you will find true happiness, where you will find true satisfaction, where you'll find true peace, is found in the greatest offer ever made. And that offer is the offer of the gospel. It's available for free, and it has an eternal guarantee. Why do we need true happiness? That's the first question that comes to mind this evening. Why do we need true happiness? Well, to understand that question, to answer that question, we need to grasp the fact that we have to realize that it is disobedience to God. It is sin which creates an emptiness within each and every one of us. Every one of us is born as a sinner. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're all born as sinners, we have an emptiness within us. There is something within us that we can't fill. We are created with a purpose. The Bible tells us over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 what the purpose of God's creation was. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we were created for God's pleasure. We were created in order that we would glorify God. But because of sin, because sin has entered into this world, and because each one of us is born as a sinner, we cannot in and of ourselves live a life which is pleasing to God. And if we're not able to live a life which is pleasing to God, then we cannot fulfill our creation objective. We cannot fulfill that objective to bring pleasure to God. That's brought about by sin. That's brought about because we're born as sinners. After creation, we know the story of creation. If you're here tonight and you have heard the Word of God at all, or maybe as a son, when you went to Sunday school or a children's meeting or whatever it might be, but you'll have heard the story of how God created the earth and God created man and how sin entered into the world and death by sin. Sin came into the world by the fall of man. Adam sinned, and we're all descendants of Adam. And as descendants of Adam, we're born with a sin nature. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates each and every man, woman, boy, girl. We're all separated from God because of our sin. The psalmist here talks about sin in Psalm 32. He says about transgression in verse 1. He speaks about sin. He speaks about iniquity. And there's three different things here that we see: transgression, sin, and iniquity. What was the Holy Spirit trying to convey? What message through the pen of the psalmist was the Holy Spirit attempting to get across by outlining these different definitions of sin? Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit was making a point, and the point was this: we're all great sinners, every one of us. Man has a sin nature. Man can sin in many ways. Man can sin with great frequency. And we know that. You don't need me to tell you that tonight. You don't need me to tell you that in thought and in word and in deed, day after day after day, how we can fail, how we can fall, and how sin can have a hold upon our lives. But the psalmist here, as he talks about transgression, as he talks about sin, and he talks about iniquity, those three words indicate three different types of sin. Transgression is really the passing of a mark, passing over a line, as it were. If there was a line drawn in the sand, it's about stepping over the line. It's transgressing beyond the boundary. It's doing something which is forbidden by God's law. It's a sin of commission. Sin, the word here that is translated as sin, refers to falling short of the mark. So God has given us something that we ought to do, or God has required something of us, but we fall short. So it's not doing what is commanded by God. So this is a sin of omission. So transgression is a sin of commission. We do things beyond what God has commanded. Sin is a sin of omission. It's not doing what God has commanded. And then iniquity. The word that's translated as iniquity here literally means to take something and turn it out of its proper course, to turn it out of its proper order or its situation. Really, it's a perversion of the moral law. So when the psalmist is writing here about sin, he's dealing with all types of sin. He's dealing with sins of omission. He's dealing with sins of commission. He's dealing with perversion of moral law. And these different definitions that the psalmist paints for us here and demonstrates for us shows us a picture of the depth of sin and the breadth of sin. Do you know our problem is that sin is a problem. Sin is a problem for all of mankind because sin is a global condition. We've listened to talk over these past couple of years about a pandemic and a worldwide pandemic. The greatest pandemic this world has ever experienced is sin, because it affects every single person. Each one of us who's here tonight is guilty at some point in time of our lives of iniquity, is guilty of sin, is guilty of transgression. It's in our nature. We're born as sinners, and sin has consequences. But because we're sinners, why does that answer the question, why do we need true happiness? Well, the prophet Isaiah, over in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." And that's a universal principle as well. That's a universal truth which applies to all mankind. That sin separates us from God. And if you're separated from God, which we are without Christ, if you're separated from God, you will never experience true, lasting, eternal happiness. You'll never experience true blessing or peace. Why? Very simply, because of sin. Because we're all born as sinners. And outside of Christ, you can never experience this blessing. You can never have this happiness, because it can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need true happiness? Where do we find true happiness? Well, I've almost, I suppose, answered that question already. To get straight to the point, true happiness is only found in the fullness of what God has done through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness of God's salvation. We find actually here that these verses in Psalm 32 tell us how the Lord deals with sin. He says, "Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed or happy is he whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." It tells us here that transgression can be forgiven. It tells us that sin can be covered. It tells us that the Lord doesn't have to impute iniquity. Why? Because of what Christ has done. Maybe you're in this meeting this evening and you've heard the gospel many times and you understand the fact that you're a sinner. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you think, "I've heard this message so many times that it's past me now." It doesn't have any effect on me anymore. And maybe the words of the preacher don't have any effect on you. But it's not the words of the preacher that matter. It's the fact that the Spirit of God would work in your heart. The Spirit of God could be working that work of conviction in your heart tonight. You're not too far gone if God's speaking to you. And you have to understand the great depth of your sin, but you have to understand that God is able to deal with it all. There is a cleansing for all sin. Over in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, the Word of God says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Your sin can be dealt with. Your sin has been dealt with if you would only come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." I want to tell you this evening, friend, as you're in this meeting, whether you're here, whether you're tuned in online, maybe someone listening to this at a later time, I want to tell you this evening that if you're looking for true happiness and you're searching for it here and there and everywhere, you're not going to find it anywhere else except in the work of Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who's dealt with your sin. He's the one who went to the cross and paid the price for you. And you can search high and low, and you can go to the bottom of every bottle, and you can try every drug, and you can have all the things in this world. You can have wealth, you can have prosperity, you can have material goods, you can have everything. And yet without Christ, you've got nothing. You want happiness. You want to be blessed? Come to Jesus. That's where true happiness is found. It's found in Jesus Christ. And let me say something tonight. I'm standing up here preaching this gospel, knowing that at the bottom of it all, I'm nothing more than a filthy, hell-deserving sinner. Nothing more than fuel fit for the fire, but yet one who's trusting in the cleansing that's free through the work of Jesus Christ. And you can have that experience as well. But without the cleansing that comes through that precious blood of Christ, without the cleansing that comes through the blood of Christ that was shed for guilty sinners, and that's you tonight, without that cleansing, you're unable to come before a holy God. But when you come through the work of Christ, when you come through the merits of Christ, when you come through what Christ has done at the place called Calvary, there's access to the Father. Your sin will be dealt with. If you're in this meeting this evening and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I can't cause an anxious thought. And I can't lift you and carry you and set you at the foot of the cross. All I can do is preach the gospel. And there's no one else here who can do anything for you in order to see you come to Christ other than pray for you, tell you about Jesus. But you are the only one who can come for yourself. And I would plead with you tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because he's the only one who will bring true peace. He's the only one who can bring true contentment, true happiness, true satisfaction. Maybe you have been searching. Maybe you know there's an emptiness in your life. And you know you need to fill that emptiness. You've been trying to fill that emptiness. You can't fill it. Only Christ can fill it. Why do we need true happiness? Because of sin. Where do we find true happiness? In Christ. How do we get true happiness? Well, verse 3 and verse 4 of this Psalm 32, we read about the psalmist's conviction about his sin. He was aware of his sin. In fact, he tried to bury his sin deep, but he was troubled by it. In the verse 3 where it says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." That word silence comes from a Hebrew word, which literally means to plow. And really the idea there in the picture of what the psalmist is saying is that he tried to bury his sin out of sight. He tried to hide it. He tried to hide his conviction out of sight. But he couldn't stop thinking about it. And as you read on, he says, "My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." It was wearing him out. It was draining him. He could find no satisfaction in the previous things because of the conviction of sin. Maybe tonight you're convicted because of your sin. I can show you from God's word what you need to do. Look at verse 5. Psalmist says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's the first thing. Acknowledge your sin. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. You simply have to accept, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 what God says about those who think or claim that they have no sin. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's none of us can say that we're sinless. There's none of us can lay claim to that. We might think that we can lay claim to that, but the truth is we can't. We're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. You're lying to yourself if you say tonight, I don't need a Savior. You're lying to yourself. So the first step is to acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your sin unto God. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. You have to admit you're a sinner. Because if you can't admit you're a sinner, you'll never admit you need a Savior. But the psalmist goes on, tells us to confess our sins. He said, my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Who's he confessing to? He's acknowledging his sin unto the Lord. He's confessing his sin unto the Lord. He's not confessing to any priest, to any pope. He's not coming to a pastor, because confession to a priest or a pope or a pastor or anybody else will not do anything for you in eternity. Not one thing. Come to Christ. You confess your sin to him. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, Paul says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You confess to him. You come through Christ alone. You confess your sin and your need of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. And this is a fundamental part of God's salvation, because this is confession from a repentant heart. We could go back over to 1 John chapter 1. The very next verse after that verse 8, where John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The very next verse, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to see something here tonight. You come and you confess your sins to God. Confession glorifies God because it emphasizes his greatness. It emphasizes his authority. It emphasizes his position. It emphasizes his attributes. It emphasizes that he is faithful, that he is just, and that he is merciful. You come to him and you confess your sin to him. The psalmist goes on in verse 5 of Psalm 32. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin. The Lord forgives. Come. Accept. Confess. Believe and know the Lord's forgiveness. The word that's translated there as forgave us literally means to take or to cause one to bear. And that's exactly how God forgives us. Because it tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. The Lord forgives. He forgives through Jesus Christ paying the price for our sins at the place called Calvary. Have you ever thought about what it cost God to purchase your salvation as an individual? Have you ever thought about the depth of your sin and how far from God you are? how far you have and how often you have failed him, how many times that you have sinned against him, how many times you have transgressed, how many times you have committed iniquity and all of those things. What it cost God to deal with your sin. That his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would leave heaven and come to this earth and take upon himself humanity. Go to a cross and be beaten and bruised, beaten more than any other man, physically speaking. To have those nails hammered into his hands and into his feet. To have that crown of thorns forced down upon his brow. To have that spear plunged into his side. To go through all of that physical suffering. And that's before God pours out his wrath upon his son. For you. For you. You ever thought about it? Lord Jesus Christ bearing your sin on a cross so that you could go free. And what are you going to do about it? Because what he did it for you. And what he did is the only thing that can bring you true happiness. How do you be happy? You come, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the merits of the grace of God, through the person of Christ, your sin can be forgiven. And God's willing to save you tonight. And not only is he willing to save you tonight, he's the only one who can. No one else can save you. And you can't save yourself. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ can. So in order to obtain true happiness for your soul, you need to come to Christ. You need to accept his offer of mercy. And you need to surrender and know God's salvation. I trust that you will, for Jesus' sake.